Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Morning Show. This is your morning show host, Julie Calamine, here at the KRFY 88.5 studios for North Idaho and listeners here. This morning, I am without my normal co-host, Phil. He has another appointment he couldn't miss, but we will see him again or hear him again next week. Luckily, in the meantime, we've got a really great morning show guest, and I'll be introducing her shortly, and also some guest speakers this morning. Before we get to them, however, let's talk about the weather. And luckily for all of us, the weather is improving. So today, here in Sandpoint, we can plan on sunny with a high of 70. It's currently cooler than that, but it's getting warmer all day, clear day. Tonight, we're going to be mostly clear with a low of 38, and then Wednesday, more of the same, sunny with a high of 70, Wednesday night, clear, low 40, Thursday, high of 75 and sunny, Thursday night, low 43. So we won't be getting down to freezing, and we will be having clear, beautiful, sunny skies. So it's a nice week. Saturday looks partly cloudy, and then as we move into the end of the weekend, there's a greater chance for rain. My recommendation is get out. Get your yard work done. Enjoy the sunny weather because we are in Sandpoint. You never know what will happen. Well, we have a wonderful opportunity this morning because this is National Poetry Month, and we have a speaker, a guest from Friends of Sandpoint Library who's going to talk to us about something additional during Poetry Month. And I'd like to introduce Julie Smith with Friends of the Library. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Julie.
Yeah, Julie. It could get confusing, but I think we'll be okay. I think we'll work it out. And so we have Julie here today because she's involved with a program called Poem in Your Pocket Day. Julie, why don't you tell us what that is? What's that about?
I will. It started way back with the mayor of New York City back in 2002, and he combined with his cultural education committee and decided he would declare a Poem in the Pocket Day. And so what that is, it's a day where we celebrate poetry, and you're asked to carry a poem in your pocket to share with everybody or anybody that you meet along the way. It could be a poem in the morning with your family. It could be on your email page, your Facebook page. But it's just a way to bring poetry out in the community. And, you know, it's so funny when you ask people and you mention poetry, most of the time you're met with kind of a grimace. Was never their favorite thing.
Well, it's hard to memorize sometimes.
It is if you have to. And so it's kind of just reintroducing people to the fact that a poem can really make a gift and make a day and start a conversation.
That's so true. And what day is it this year?
It is coming up this Thursday on April 26th.
That's soon.
Yes, it is very soon. And so the Friends of the Library have been organizing our outreach to the community. We always did a monthly program when the library was functioning, but it hasn't been this year. And so it's kind of our outreach to the community and to bring a little surprise.
And a nice surprise and a nice addition to Poetry Month. Well, normally during our morning show, we'll talk a bit and then have a song break. But because we have a very special... Well, several special guests this morning. We're going to mix up our itinerary, our outline, just a bit. And tell us about who's here, who's in the back room, and what's going to happen.
I know. I'm so excited about this. I was a teacher and the librarian at Sandpoint Middle School for years. And the way I came about knowing about this is I had two seventh grade language arts teachers. I'm going to give them a little shout out, Miss Jeannie Lyon and Jackie Crossingham. And today we have Jackie Crossingham here with a few of her students from her creative writing program. And they are here to share with you some of their original poetry for Poem in the Pocket.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And my suggestion is we just go ahead and hear some poems. Shall we introduce Jackie and our first poetry?
Sure.
All composer. Right. Why don't you run out and get them?
I will.
That sounds great. All right, listeners, give us just a moment. We're about to have Jackie join us, and we're going to be joined by a young poet from Sandpoint. So come on in. And it looks like we have Jackie. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning.
So nice to have you here.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Jackie Crossingham from the school. And tell us about who you, the first person that you've got and what we're going to be hearing.
Well, I brought three of my students from my creative writing class. And the first one I have today is Gretchen. And she's going to share a poem that she has written herself and then a poem by one of her favorite authors.
All right. Well, good morning, Gretchen.
Morning.
Nice to have you here. What grade are you in?
I'm in eighth grade.
Oh, that's great. And when did you write your poem?
I wrote my poem not yesterday, but a couple days ago.
Oh, so this is a fresh poem.
Yes.
Very fresh. All right, why don't you tell us the title and read it, and then we'll hear your next one.
All right, sleep. Sleep, what a beautiful thing. Warm, cozy, comfy bed where you lay down your sweet head. Sweet dreams, kiddo. See you soon when light comes next.
And oh.
And my next poem is going to be Smart by Sean
Shell
Silverstein.
Okay, well, hang on. Let's first talk about your poem that you composed.
All right.
How did that come about?
I don't know. I believe I was, like, really tired. And I just, it's, like, the only thing that was really, like, came on.
Kinda. Right. That meant something to you that you felt you could speak to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was beautiful.
We also did some prompts on bedtime poems,
oh,
too.
Yeah,
there was that. So we had kind of a whole overall theme that we were working on that day. So.
All right. So. All right. Well, let's hear a poem not by you that you enjoy.
All right. This one's called Smart. My dad gave me $1 bill because I'm his smartest son. And I swapped it for two shiny quarters because two is more than one. And then I took the quarters and traded them to Lou for three dimes. I guess he don't know that three is more than two. Just then along came old blind Bates and just because he can't see, he gave me four nickels and three dimes. And four is more than three. And I took the nickels to Harem Combs down at the seed feed store. And the fool gave me 5 pennies for them and five is more than four. And then I went and showed my dad. He got red in the cheeks and closed his eyes and shook his head, too proud of me to speak.
That's a good one.
Time to snap it out.
Yeah. Boy, that's a little bit of addition plus poetry, isn't it? We had to think through that.
Or subtraction.
Subtraction.
Right,
just plain bad math.
That's right. Just plain bad math. I like that. Well, that was really lovely.
Thank you.
So what's next for you? Will there be more poetry?
No.
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 Tell what you were just telling me out there in the waiting room.
So I just recently signed up for high school, and so the classes I took are all honors class. I'm taking pre-AP English, I'm taking world history, and Model UN, and that's our high school debate team where they go to New York, and they do a national conference to argue for, like, a country's right and certain topics on it. And I want to become an ambassador when I'm older for the United States.
Wow. That's great.
So I have big goals when I'm older.
That's right. Well, poetry might come in handy. Never know. Well, I want to thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Ms. Crossingham, shall we have another poet?
We'll have the next one come in.
Shel Silverstein is one of their favorite poets. He's got about 3 books. And they just love him.
He's quite a character, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Yes,
in fact, we love the books, but sometimes we have to hide them because that's all they want to read.
That's right.
There's a whole lot of other authors out there. And here's one of them right now. I have Zoe.
All right. Good morning, Zoe.
Good morning.
So do you also have an original poem and one of your favorites?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, all right. Tell us about your first poem that you composed.
My first one is called Chloe with Long Flowy Hair. And I wrote it, and it's a limerick, and I really liked it because I've never written a limerick before, and it just showed what I truly like.
All right. Well, can someone tell us what is a limerick?
A limerick is a poem that has the first, second, and fifth line have 3, like, strong syllables in it, I think. And then the third and fourth have couplets, which are two
stressed syllables.
Thank you. Sorry. And then
a little stressed there.
The first and second lines rhyme, and so do the fifth. And then third and fourth rhyme.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes limericks are bawdy, and so I'm going to put out a warning right here that this is community radio, and there's no swearing, and we don't have a 7-second delay. So I need to ask you, Zoe, is there any swearing?
Don't think so.
Oh, good. All right. Well, then we'll proceed.
We kept it 7th grade appropriate.
Good. All right. We're ready.
Okay. There once was a girl named Chloe. Her hair was long and flowy. She was very smart and ever so tart, said Ava to that girl named Chloe.
Ever so smart and tart. I like it.
That's right.
It's a good combination.
That's right.
And those of you listening can't see Zoe, but she does have hair that's long and flowy, doesn't she?
Could be her own poem.
That's right. Could be about Zoe. Very nice. Tell us about your second poem.
It's written by Shel Silverstein, and it's called Loser. It's really good, and I love Shel Silverstein's books, and this one I've always liked. I was told it as a young girl, and I've always liked it.
I can't wait to hear it.
Ready?
Oh, yeah. Mama said I'd lose my head if it wasn't fastened on. Today, I guess it wasn't, because while playing with my cousin, it fell off and rolled away, and now it's gone. And I can't look for it, because my eyes are in it, and I can't call to it, because my mouth is on it. Couldn't hear me anyway, because my ears are on it. Can't even think about it, because my brain is on it. So I guess I'll sit down on this rock and rest for just a minute.
I like it.
Well, what's really wonderful about that poem is what rock did he sit on?
The head.
The head.
The head was the rock. Yeah. That's right.
And it also just applies to me so much. Because I always lose things.
It's so easy to lose things. Well, you all do like Shel Silverstein, don't you? Yeah. Well, I like
We had many
too.
Books to choose from, but they all kept going back to Shel Silverstein. So.
Well, he's a good one, and a good one for kids your age, I think, too. Zoe, thank you.
Thank you.
So we have a very full schedule this morning, and it's all related to poetry, and we've got a very lucky interruption. And I don't think this person is going to need any training in how to use the microphone because he's been here before, but I'd like to introduce the mayor, Mayor Ragna.
Ronstadt. Hey, good morning.
Sorry, Ronstadt.
Pleasure to be here.
Yes, yeah, sorry.
Yes.
Ronstadt. Yes.
That's right.
Oh, you.
And I have a proclamation that I would like to read in celebration of National Poetry Month.
Okay, and before you do that, tell us how this came about. Let's have one of you tell us, and then we'll hear the proclamation.
Well, last year we started this, you know, poem in the pocket in the community, and I sent a couple of volunteers over to City Hall, and they distributed poems there, and one of the recipients of one of those poems was our mayor, and then he was so kind to have a picture taken with him, which the reader then ran as a follow-up to our story. So we kind of lassoed him last year.
So it's a return, but
it is, but this time a real proclamation. So
pretty neat.
Yeah, pretty neat.
All right. Well, Mayor, are you ready to read?
Yes, here we go. Whereas the Academy of American Poets initiated April as National Poetry Month in 1996, in celebration of poetry and the legacy of American poets and their ongoing contributions to our cultural heritage. Whereas the Office of the Mayor in New York City, partnership with the city's Departments of Cultural Affairs and Education, initiated in April 2002 Poem in Your Pocket Day. Whereas in 2008, the Academy of American Poets took the initiative to all 50 states, encouraging individuals around the country to participate. And whereas April 26, 2018 will be National Poem in Your Pocket Day, when the members of the community are encouraged to carry a favorite poem on their person to share with family, friends, and coworkers. Now, therefore, I, Shelby Ronstadt, Mayor of the City of Sandpoint, Idaho, do hereby proclaim April 26, 2018 as Poem in Your Pocket Day.
All right.
And I do have a short poem here that I would like to share as well that commemorates a poem in my pocket. And in fact, that's what it's called. So a poem is like a daydream. It can take me far away or bring back a little memory of a very special day. A poem is like a party full of sun and sweet surprise, and every poem I read is just a present in disguise. A poem is like a mystery, and I'm waiting to unlock it. I'm never bored when I'm alone. A poem is in my pocket.
That's a sweet one. That is.
Thank you.
On that note, we're going to take a short song break, and we'll come back with more student poetry readings. Time for us to hear John Denver with Sunshine on My Shoulders, and this was requested by our guest, Julie Smith. And And that was John Denver with Sunshine on My Shoulders, a favorite of Julie Smith's.
It's a great way to start the day with that song.
It sure is. And it's a poem in itself. And so many songs really are poems.
They really are.
That's right. For those of you just joining us, this is 88.5 listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. I am your morning show host, Julie Calamine, and I'm joined this morning by a creative bunch. Julie Smith from Friends of the Library, three young students, and their teacher, Jackie Crossingham. And we are talking about Poetry Month and Poem in Your Pocket Day, which is coming up. So, Julie, we still have another young poet who's going to share with us.
We do.
Yes, Ms. Crossingham, can you introduce her?
Yes, I'd like to introduce to you today's seventh grader, Allie Mason, and she's going to be reading a poem of her own, and then one from a favorite author. Guess who? Shel Silverstein again.
Yes, I would have likely guessed that one. Well, good morning. And
good morning.
I'd like you to tell me about the poem that you composed.
Well, we had this entry task kind of thing, and it was like about cell phones. But I just got really inspired, and I really liked what I wrote. So it's one of my favorites I wrote.
And does your poem have a certain style? Is it a limerick? What style of poem is it? Or is it none? Is it just a poem?
Well, we did two different kinds. You could do a pattern poem where you did the number of syllables that were in your phone number. For example, 208 would have starting off with a two-syllable first line, and then the zeros were nonsense words. Is that the one you did?
No.
Well, anyway.
Good guess.
Or you could just write about your inspirational moments on a cell phone. I think that's where Allie went. So.
Okay, well, I would love to hear it.
Okay. This poem's called Cell Phone Control. Cell phones were made years ago, improving each and every day, boosting people's egos, they waste the day away. Cell phones are a responsibility. Most kids have them. Posting pictures in the Facebook community, they think it's a gem. Receiving and sending messages, back and forth they go. This is the new ages, I guess you'll never know.
I guess we will never know.
No, we will never
where those phones will go. They go places, don't they?
Yeah, they
really
do.
Are going places.
It may be the next archaeological dig of the future.
That's right. And they go to poetry, actually. I think people use them for composing because, of course, a person could compose on their phone. That's right.
Yeah.
And then you have a favorite poem that wasn't written by you.
Yeah. This poem was written by Shel Silverstein, and it's called Where the Sidewalk Ends. Mm-hmm. There is a place where the sidewalk ends and before the street begins. And there the grass grows soft and white, and there the sun burns crimson bright. And there the moonbird rests from his flight to cool in the peppermint wind. Let us leave this place where the smoke blows black and the dark streets winds and bends. Past the pits where the asphalt flowers grow, we shall walk with a walk that is measured and slow. And watch where the chalk white arrows go to the place where the sidewalk ends. Yes, we'll walk with a walk that's measured and slow, and we'll go where the chalk white arrows go. For the children they mark and the children they know, this place where the sidewalk ends.
That's a nice one.
It's the title of one of his books, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. The book that I took it from, read it from.
Is there something you really like about that poem?
I don't know. It, like, kind of explains kind of the world in, like, some places. Like asphalt flowers.
Yeah, it really does, doesn't it?
Paints a picture for you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's kind of what poetry's all about, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That is the thing about poems, isn't it? They often mean something different to everybody.
They really do. And, you know, one of the things about people that would like to kind of get exposed to poetry... Did you read a lot of poems, too, before, while you were doing this unit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
And who's this again?
This is Gretchen.
All right. Gretchen, tell us a little bit about how you got into poetry, how it started.
So how it kind of started is back in sixth grade, we did this kind of, I believe it was around this time, too, for like Poem in a Pocket Day. We had an assembly and a few kids from a few grades, we all read our poems and everything, but everyone in sixth grade, they did all their poems. So Yeah. That was pretty. And then, you know, seventh grade, we didn't really do a whole lot really in our English classes, a little bit. And then now it's like just kind of evolved into a thing.
Yeah, back into more poetry. And would one of you like to tell us about how you selected the style of poetry that you came to? Now, Chloe, I know you did a limerick. How did you decide to do a limerick?
Zoe.
Yeah, oh, sorry. Did I say Chloe? I'm sorry. I've written down Chloe.
Well, because we liked her poem.
It was about Chloe.
Oh, that's how it happened.
There's a rhyme for you.
That's right. Thank you.
Well, Miss Crossingham has shown us a few different kinds of poetry, and I always, like, the limericks, just how she explained it just stuck in my head, and I really liked it, and so.
Yeah, it just sort of stood out for you. You enjoyed it.
And I love the more, like, non-serious part of poetry, and both of them are good, but, like, the non-serious part has always stood out to me.
It is fun. Poetry can really be fun.
It can. And the rhyming is fun. I think you like the rhyming, too, don't you?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like rhyming?
I know.
I know.
Although
it.
Not all poems rhyme. So.
No, they sure don't.
No, but I think there were a couple poems over here that had a nice rhythm to them, you know, which poems do, too. They don't always rhyme, but they have kind of a flow or a cadence, you know, that makes it. That stands out once you start reading them.
Right, and who's the stepping up?
Allie.
And Allie's got a comment.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I've always wanted to, like, make songs. And so, like, poetry is a way that I can do that without actually, like, having to have a beat and stuff. Like, but as I get older and the more I, like, focus on poetry and stuff, like, I feel like I'll be able to have that develop more.
So true. It leads us into thoughts about music. We've already talked about it a bit, but so much music is poetic and starts with a poem, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, that's true.
We picked some of our favorites today.
That's right. We do. We have more coming. Before we send the kids back to their classes, I'm sure they're not in any rush. Ms. Crossingham, why don't you tell us a bit about the program and how you got excited about it and how it's gone over the years?
Oh, well, I have been an English teacher at Sandpoint Middle School for some time now. And a couple of years ago, we added electives into our coursework as an opportunity for students to really have some enrichment. And I asked if I could teach a creative writing class, and I was granted that opportunity. And it's been a lot of fun. So this is year two. I've taught four semesters of it, so it's a fourth time through. And it's really changed each semester based upon what the kids want to do. And this particular group that I brought down today have been very excited about poetry. So we've kind of extended this unit. Classes back at school who are listening to this right now, who are amazing poets, but they were a little bit nervous to come and speak. So there's kind of that two sides of this. You have the creative writers, the deep thinkers, but also the ones who are willing to take the risk to come and speak in public. And so for that, I'm very thankful for these young ladies for coming down and being able to share and not only have their own poetry that they've written, but the poetry of one of their favorite authors and the ability to get ready and organized. And they were so responsible. They brought back their field trip permission forms and everything without any prompting. So it was the right group to bring down.
So A plus.
A plus students for sure. And sweet young ladies too.
They are. And you make a good point mm-hmm. that poetry, when we think about it, can be kind of introspective.
Mm-hmm.
Can
it? Really.
Right. And yet on the other side, there are poetry slams where people just come out and read it out. So you all did both. You had the creative part, a little quieter, and now you're here reading it. It really takes both for us to enjoy poetry. Well, it doesn't, but it helps.
It does help.
Yeah, it certainly helps.
In fact, we're gearing up in our English classes to get ready for an end-of-the-year poetry slam. So the seventh graders on our final day of school will all gather together and we'll have some awards ceremonies and things like that. But some of the students who are willing to be those risk takers are going to stand up in front of their peers on their final day of seventh grade and share either poems that they have written or favorite poems by different authors. And we'll have probably a good two dozen at least students who take that risk. And perhaps I'm looking at some of them right now.
That's right. And what this radio broadcaster, who is pretty new to radio broadcasting, sees are three future DJs or radio broadcasters. Ooh. So they might want to come back to our little fun little community radio station and help out at some point. We would love to have you.
Oh, cool.
It's an invite. It's an invite. I hope you'll think about
it.
Wow,
all kinds of deals today.
Wow. That's right.
Yeah.
All right. And that's one thing I wanted to kind of say, too, at the middle school. We do a lot of cross-curricular. So sometimes you really do have science do poetry or math or any of those kind of disciplines where, you know, poetry isn't just an English language arts form.
No, it's more. It's definitely more.
It is. I was going to read the kids one of the funniest poems I ever read. And this poet wished he had never written it. And it was written way back in 1895. And it's by Gelette Burgess. And I don't know if you've ever heard the poem, The Purple Cow. Well, the first title for this poem was The Purple Cow's Projected Feast, Reflections on a Mythic Beast, Who's Quite Remarkable, at Least. That was the title. And here is the poem. I never saw a purple cow. I never hoped to see one. But I can tell you anyhow, I'd rather see than be one. And that is the end of that poem.
The title was longer.
But I know. No, and at one time, it was as popular, they said, as The Night Before Christmas.
Really?
Yes. And he just hated to have people come up and recite it to him.
That's right, I imagine. Well, we will take a song break and we'll let these kids get back to their classes. But before I let them go, I do want to ask you all about other types of poetry, because the poetry that I began with, which I think is very simple, is haiku. And it's kind of simple, and we have our, you know, three stanzas, and makes it an easy format for us to enter into. Did you all experiment with that? Yes, and is this
Allie?
Yeah. Tell us.
In fourth grade, I did a lot of haikus because it's the easiest. Yes. But like as I get more older and understand it more, I like more of a challenge.
Sure.
But haikus are for sure a favorite of mine because I've wrote some really fun ones.
And they are fun, and they seem simple at first, but they're not as simple as we think, because they can be challenging.
It's supposed to really, in those three lines, give you a beautiful picture image of something.
That's right. That's right. Well, I'm going to thank you three for joining us. Any last thoughts before we send you back to class with Jackie Crossingham?
No, but thank you for having us here.
Oh, you are very welcome. Thank you for joining us on during Poetry Month and to talk about Poem in Your Pocket Day.
Well, thank you very much for having us today.
You're very welcome. All right, we're going to take a short song break, and then we will return and talk more about pocket poems and Poetry Month with Julie Smith. We'll be hearing Queen Latifah with her version of Poetry Man. And appropriately, that was Queen Latifah's version of Poetry Man. Kind of a nice song for this morning. Sweet.
Yeah, pretty voice too, you know, I mean, mellow and nice words.
Puts us in mind of a beautiful poetry, and that's what we're here about. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to 88.5 KRFY Panhandle Community Radio for the Idaho Panhandle. And this morning I'm joined by Friends of the Library volunteer, Julie Smith, and she's here because we're talking about Poetry Month and a specific day that month, which is Poem in Your Pocket Day, and that's coming up.
It is, and we have been getting ready. We have been rolling poems and putting them in baskets and setting our routes around town and sending baskets out to different places. So we have been busy. We've got a group going out to Luther Park to hang poems on all of the residents' doors. And we have some going to the bridge and the senior center for lunch. So those are kind of the exciting ones. And then we have people that are going to be out and about at Yokes and North 40 and Super One. And we have some merchants in town that are giving out poems. Stop by Vanderford's or Sharon's Hallmark. And all of our coffee places are handing out poems.
So I would like to hear how the poems were selected. How did you decide?
Well, I think we probably will redo that next year. I had enough poems for 2 years, but we had people kind of pick their favorite poems. What we found out last year is that members of Friends of the Library submitted poems. I had talked to some of the students at the high school, and they submitted some of their poems. But what we found out last year is we didn't have any poems for little people. And that was something we'd be handing out, and here was this little person that would just have loved to have had a piece of poetry. So we have now a whole basket going out with each of these locations with a poem for
younger people.
Yeah.
Good idea. Yeah, because there's really poetry does, one's interest in poetry is different throughout life, isn't it?
It is. You know. But if they start with nursery rhymes, those are just poems in themselves too. What a great place for parents to start. That introduction.
So true. I want you to paint me a picture of this the upcoming day and remind us again of the day.
It's this Thursday.
And when does it begin?
We all congregate at the library at 10 a.m. And from there, everybody gets their assigned places that they're going to go. So we have people signed up for all of those different spots. So the majority of people will be out and about between 10 and noon. Although we have some places specifically where we're going to have two people later in the day that will be handing poems out, you know, at the entryway to certain businesses. So please don't feel, and we kind of go in and out down the street to businesses and meet people on the street. And we've never had anybody not really accept a poem and kind of be really thrilled that they got it.
It would be rare, I would think, for someone to refuse a free poem.
Yeah.
That would be sad.
It would be really sad. I know last year when they were at Yolks, they gave all of the cashiers, you know, a poem. But there were people standing in line as they were checking out, reading their poems to each other.
Nice.
So it's just, it opens such a door.
That's right.
It really does.
So it sounds like morning time would be an optimal time if you want to get out and run into a person with a basket.
It's true. That would be the great time to do it.
Very good. Yeah. And the poems are of all styles. They might be
haiku.
They
are all styles. And, you know, we talked about that, too. You know, someone said, well, gee, they should be really upbeat. They should be... Well, you know, we have Emily Dickinson, we have Robert Frost out there, we have Walt Whitman, we have some of the classics, and then we have a lot of very new contemporary poems by poets. And so, you know, it's just, it's a surprise to everybody what they're going to get.
That's right. And, you know, Poem in Your Pocket Day is, once again, part of the monthly National Poetry Month, and poetry, it really is important. And I went online and I noticed some of the suggestions for how to get more involved in poetry, but there are a lot of ways to do it. Why don't you tell us what you've learned?
Oh my gosh, there are a lot of ways to do it. You know, you can do it in the morning. There is a Association of American Poets that have a site. It's poets.org. And you can even sign up to get a poem a day if you'd like to do that. You can add it onto your Facebook page for the day. Maybe you would just sneak a poem on everybody's desks at the office. We even, when we were putting the poems together, would have a poem break. And when we came across a poem somebody liked, and we stood up and just read it. So it could be as prompt to as that. You could send one just to a friend. And, you know, I kind of keep hoping it's going to take on a life of its own, that maybe communities, even little neighborhoods, might just start a Poem in the Pocket Day where they just maybe put them in the mailboxes around their neighborhood or tuck them in on the door.
Sort of a little love offshoot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I keep hoping, you know. I should mention
underground.
They do it in all 50 states. They have some kind of activity in all 50 states that they do this.
So. A poem in your pocket.
Yeah. And I keep thinking it would be kind of fun to do it maybe sometime, maybe next year we'll do it in the evening at the restaurants and put a poem and see if they'd like us to put a poem at each place setting. You know,
I think that would be a fabulous twist on pocket poem in your pocket day. If you've been doing it in the morning, to move it to the evening, mm-hmm. What fun.
Yeah.
And you get a whole new crowd.
I think so. And so if anybody's interested or needs some ideas, I would just love to meet with them.
Well, why don't you tell us how they might do that and a little bit about what you do at Friends of the Library and how folks can get involved with you all if they'd like to help.
Friends of the Library has been there since the 1980. Uh-oh, I was going to write that down. Here
the
I am.
80s for sure.
80s for sure. Yes. A wonderful group of women started it and are still there, some of them, so dedicated. And what we basically do is we are just friends of the library. We do what support we can. Sometimes we help host events, help provide refreshments. But we also hold, and we haven't been able to do it this year, our big book sale on the first Saturday of every month. And from that, the community has supported us so beautifully with donated books. But we earn a nice, tidy amount of money from that, and we keep that for the library in case they need, you know, I know we bought them a beautiful speaker podium. I know we've sometimes furnished a room with shades. So we try to be there in financial support, too.
Yeah, I know we've had, Pat, I believe it was Pat
Ramsey or Pat?
Pat Stevens. And maybe Pat Ramsey, too, but they've been on more than once, and we've heard about some of the wonderful things that Friends of the Library is able to accomplish through the book sales. It's just wonderful.
It is, and that's total community support that way. We couldn't do it without, you know, the donation of the books and then the people that come to purchase books.
That's right. Now, how would they find you if someone wanted to be a new helper with Friends of the Library?
Okay, a new helper. At the library itself, we have our own kiosk, and right there are membership flyers, or they can contact me. I'm the secretary right now, but Julie Smith, you know, at 263-1501 if you want to find out more about it. And we're a small working group, so we would welcome, you know, some new people.
I know it. It's such a, our community is a community of so many volunteers and nonprofits that we can ever almost. What organization couldn't use more help? And they're all great ones to help out with if you've got a bit of extra time.
Yes, they are. Yeah. And you can kind of pick and choose of what you want to do.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Julie, we've touched on National Poetry Month, and some of the suggestions have been how to find poetry and ways you can read it and enjoy it and share it with friends. But what I did notice is there weren't that many suggestions for how a person might get started composing poetry. And I was so happy that Jackie Crossingham's class came in because they are actually learning to think about writing poetry. And that can be challenging, can't it?
It can be challenging. I think some people just stay away from it because they just don't know where to begin.
It's right. That's right. And yet it can be so, it's such a centering sort of activity. You really get inside yourself and think about what's happening with you and what you want to write about.
That's right. And I think there was a really nice definition. It says a poem is a group of words that express emotion and thoughts. And sometimes it rhymes, and sometimes it doesn't.
It's true.
And sometimes it has a rhythm, and sometimes it doesn't. So it's really such an open-ended sort of thing.
Right.
There's a scholastic.org, which Scholastic is a big supporter of school libraries and book fairs and things. If you go on to scholastic.org poetry, they have a wonderful little lesson there on how to read a poem or how to be familiar with poetry. And
yeah.
At first, they just tell you to read the poem and look at it.
It's a good way to start, isn't it? It gets you thinking.
Does it have a refrain? Does it rhyme? Doesn't it rhyme? What kind of emotion are you getting? Or does it paint you a picture?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And like our young friend Zoe mentioned earlier, some people like rhyming poetry that's funny and, you know, more in the comedic, and others like the serious poetry. So a person sort of has to think about where they are in their compositional journey.
They do. And you can go up on the internet and just say, find me some poems on dogs, or find me some poetry on aging, or find me some poetry, you know, about rocks. And you know what? It'll give you quite some fun things to look at.
Yeah, it'll get you started.
It will get you started.
It sure will.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to wrap up our interview, but I can't wrap it up without quoting a very short haiku poem. And I have to tell you just a little bit of background about it because it's from a family member of mine. My 40th birthday, I won't tell you when that was, I had a party and family were invited. And part of the party was that we had everyone was required to bring a haiku poem and we were going to read them. And my birthday's on the first day of spring. So the theme was kind of spring-like. And my sister-in-law, Lisa, thank you, Lisa, for offering or giving your permission for me to read your haiku, came to the party with this poem, and she actually won. The votes were for this poem. And if you've listened to us very often here on the Tuesday Morning Show, you know that we tend to talk about outdoor topics, environmental, etc. And you've probably noticed that I'm a fishing person, so this might be part of why this poem won. But here goes, and then we will take a song break, which will be Bruce Springsteen, If I Should Fall Behind. But in the meantime, Brookie, lips kiss the surface, from below to take the fly, caught, a dance on air.
Ooh, such an image.
Kind of nice, right?
Yeah,
that one does tell a story.
Yes, it does.
Three short lines. Well, I want to thank you, Julie Smith, for joining us, and good luck in 2 days. I hope it goes well.
I do. I think it will. And so, you know, if you just come up to us if you see us and ask for a poem.
That's right. We'll do. Don't be afraid of the people with baskets.
No, we'll have big yellow pockets on.
Very good.
Yep.
And song break and then back to upcoming events. And Julie selected this song, Bruce Springsteen, If I Should Fall Behind. As Bruce Springsteen with If I Should Fall Behind. Really a very poetic song and appropriate for our morning show this morning, which was Poetry Month and Poem in Your Pocket Day, which is coming up in just 2 days, April 26th, here in downtown Sandpoint, sponsored by Friends of the Library. And you'll see folks running around with baskets of printed poems in the morning and maybe in the afternoon. So as we said earlier, don't be shy. If they come toward you, go ahead and plan to accept a poem. This is Julie Calamine, your morning show host at KRFY Morning Show. Normally joined by Phil Huff. He's away today, and we'll be seeing him next week. Which brings us to upcoming morning shows. And I hope that you'll tune in tomorrow morning with show host Susie Prez. She's working on Local Decision 2018 primary. Her guests will be candidates running for Bonner County Assessor. That would be Donna Gao, Richard Miller, and Dennis Engelhart. And again, that will be tomorrow at 8 on 88.5. And then, please join us Thursday morning at 8 a.m. with hosts Jim Healy and Jack Peterson. Their guest will be Festival at Sandpoint Executive Director Dinah Wall. They will receive the 2018 lineup and talking about the upcoming wine festival and new entry options. So that'll be at 8 on Thursday. And next week, we're going to be doing the Tuesday morning show. And again, and Phil will return, and we'll be talking with kids from the aeronautic program here in Sandpoint. So that should be an interesting show. And then an update on Idaho Gives. So that'll be a great show Tuesday. And moving on to upcoming events in the coming week. Hoping that if you have time tonight, this would be the 24th, you'll join the kids for Children Performing for Our Children, celebrate with over 100 musical matters. Students ages 7 to 18 will be performing works of Tchaikovsky, and that will be at the Panada this weekend, again, the 24th. So it's tonight, actually, and it's hosted by the Music Conservatory. We're running a little short on time, and so I'm only going to mention another item or two and then out with a song. And just wanting for folks to know that on the 28th, that will be this Saturday, hope you'll join the Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society for their monthly speaker, and the topic is climate change and native plants. And that's Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society and Sandpoint Parks and Rec sponsoring a presentation on the effects of climate change on native and introduced plants. That's from 9:45 until 11:30 a.m. And that will be at the Sandpoint Community Hall. We are running short on time, so I want to thank you all for listening this week, and we will talk to you next week. And out with Greg Brown, The Poet Game. Have a great week.